This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
From the Embassy Row Studios, in the crap part of Soho, it's the Men in Blazers podcast, Rog.
Oh, there you go.
It's not. Let's just say, before we really get started, Rog has been in better moods than he is today.
Yep. It's terrible.
I know, but this, we're living in the world of Harry Kane, Rog. Mm-hmm. We're 24-38 through the Premier League season. It was the Grammys this weekend.
Yeah, but, you know, Derby weekend.
Yeah, but you came out with a draw, Rog.
Yeah, but it's still packed with self-loathing, despair and loneliness. And that was just watching the Grammys, I felt that.
Yeah.
And then we got Chelsea on the horizon. It's just recovery position. It's hard to be in recovery position for more than a week. My coping strategy is just to tell myself it's an international break and there's no football going on here.
Oh, no, we've got FA Cup coming up this weekend, Rog.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, it is. And you know, we're going to explore it with Stoner.
Stoner. Rob Stone, our old colleague from Fox Sports.
America's leading FA Cup specialist.
Yes.
He's going to join us. But let's cheer me up by talking about the Grammys.
Yeah.
Which are GFOP at our punk koala calls the music industry Ballon d'Or thingy.
Yeah.
Which I love because it really captures the essence of the night. A night in which we get to marvel at the heavy hand of America's elite plastic surgeons and the vanity and raging ego of celebrities whose life's goal, David, you'll understand this better than I do.
Yeah.
It seems to be to rage against the idea of aging gracefully.
Why would I understand that?
Well, you mix with a lot of these people.
I do. People in the entertainment
business. Your team talent.
Yeah, but you've got people. I think Tony Bennett, he's aged quite gracefully.
Oh, did you see him after AC/DC finished their opening set?
He was a little confused.
The cameras panned to her pouring him. Lady Gaga.
Uh-huh.
And she screamed into his ear, "Wasn't that amazing?"
Mm-hmm.
And Tony Bennett, who I often actually see stumbling around Midtown Manhattan, looking lost yet cuddly. On the Grammys, he looked around like he didn't know where he was, nor why his slightly maniacal nurse aide had her boobs out.
Gaga. Yeah, I found that an odd performance.
Yeah, I was still seething because the Men in Blazers theme song yet again had been shut out in award time. I think that might be the root of my anger, David.
It is. I'd have loved to have seen Electric Light Orchestra play that with Ed Sheeran. Would have been great.
Ed Sheeran?
Yeah.
Can I just say, I do love ELO. And I'd love seeing Jeff Lynne on stage again. But Ed Sheeran?
Yeah.
I don't understand how his musical career is so massive. Yet no one took Alexi Lalas's 1998 album Ginger seriously.
Yeah. He is a good ginge, Ed Sheeran. He's a good representative of the ginge community.
He's Jack Kolbakian.
Yeah, he is.
And his unabashed ginginess. Can I tell you what else I feel sad about?
Okay, who?
Madonna.
Yeah.
Appalling. Sad.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch her?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't want to speak ill of my neighbour in the crap part of Bridgehampton, because I do live next door to her. But
when you kick your soccer ball over the wall, do you have to go round to Madge's house to get
it? Yeah, pretty much.
Can you kick it
Madge,
back over?
Get it back. Usually it's one of her horses, just kicks it back over with one of the front hoofs. I sort of feel at a certain point of an artist's career, they need to switch up their performance. They need to do something a little different. Remember, it's a different Madonna that broke in 1984 with
Jelly
Borderline.
Bean Benitez.
Yeah, Dan became the Madonna of the pointy bras and the Madonna of the big stage shows and the voguing era and all those kind of things.
By the way, Jelly Bean Benitez is one of the great unheralded American names of all time.
Fantastic American. Very nice guy, actually. I met him a couple of times. And you sort of want Madonna to be a different Madonna today, and yet she's still doing a lot of the same stuff and struggling to do it.
You know who that reminds me of?
I'm thinking perhaps somebody else who plays in red, Rog.
Stevie G.
Yeah.
Both legendary, now utterly reliant on the movement of their supporting cast.
Yeah.
And I've got to ask you, David, why does she do what she does? She's age 56.
Yeah.
If I was her manager, my advice would be, put your bum away, love.
Yeah.
And go and record an amazing album of Johnny Cash covers with Rick Rubin. She's turning into Lola from the end of that beautiful ballad.
Her name is Lola. Yeah, that's a really
by
depressing Barry song.
Still
I
in
never
the dress
really
she used to wear, faded feathers in her hair. She sits there so refined, then drinks herself half blind. This is the greatest line in pop music history, arguably. She lost her youth and she lost her Tony.
It's awful when you lose your Tony. You don't want to lose your Tony.
Where did you last see your Tony?
Yeah.
Just go and retrace your steps. You'll find your Tony.
Yeah.
But, you know, same thing, Madonna. Sir Paul McCartney.
Oh.
Dancing on his own, two ELO. The cameras are on him, happily clapping away with his melty face, dancing badly.
I relate to that, though. Then he got self-conscious. Yes. He didn't want to dance anymore.
And then he realises the cameras are on him, happily clapping away on his own with his melty face, dancing badly. And what does he do?
He apologises
to
both the camera and the audience at home. And then he sits down.
So let me ask you this, Dave.
Yeah.
If he's not comfortable in his own skin at his age, what chance do we have?
None.
None.
There is, however, in dancing, Rog, there is nothing more awkward than the transition between not dancing, and then the transition again between dancing and not dancing. Go to any wedding, go to any nightclub, and watch the incredibly awkward moment of people about to dance. It's excruciating. I can't bear it.
I think the worst thing about dancing is the awkwardness of the loneliness of the group dance when you don't quite know the steps. It's truly the most epic loneliness.
Yeah, it's like watching Leicester.
But talking about Paul, there's two scenarios for Sir Paul as I see it, David.
Mm-hmm.
You either just go balls out, FU, Keith Richards style.
Yeah.
Where you just do not care.
Mm-hmm.
Or you go on elusive reclusive, full on, just take yourself out of circulation.
Richard Simmons style.
I was thinking of J.D. Salinger. Yeah. You know, Dickie Simmons.
Yeah, similar people.
And then you just let the mystery burnish your legend.
Uh-huh.
What course is he taking? Because I don't understand that. It seems to be neither of the well-advised ones.
He likes popularity. He loves going out. He loves leading the crowd in a sing-along of Hey Jude. He just loves an event. He's having a grand old life.
So I watch the Grammys and I don't feel that I'm watching the show.
It's amazing that he hasn't gone grey, Rog.
About how it's unbelievable.
Amazing
what
that
are
he
odds?
Hasn't gone grey.
What are the odds? It doesn't seem to be a show that celebrates music. It seems to be a show which really poses deep existential questions about the elusive nature of happiness to me.
Well, it was a little deep and existential, the Grammys this year. It was a little bit like, somebody mentioned to me the other day, a little bit like the Super Bowl commercials. It was a bit sad this year. There weren't any big, upbeat, dancey numbers, or very, very few. It was a very sort of ballady, quite sad, quite down. Not that uplifting.
Yeah, the most uplifting moment was when I realised that Sam Smith has Louis Van Gaal hat.
He does.
And an incredible fine taste in air ties. By the way, the Grammys was only the second crapper show of the week.
Yeah.
The worst was Men in Blazers Night at the Golden Blazer.
Oh.
Terrible, last Thursday.
It was terrible, but also at the same time moving in the way that only a Men in Blazers Golden Blazer show can be. Suboptimal and terrible and poor. Just countless production mistakes made mainly by myself, Rog. But at the same time, it was moving and it was sort of brilliant.
It was. I thought it was like reading Animal Farm. It all meant something different on a symbolic level. It was very lovely at the Highline Ballroom, packed with GFOPs who travelled into New York City in the snow from all across the country. Happy birthday, super GFOP Jason Kennedy from Chicago. And just being together, it was magnificent. And to raise money for the show's proceeds for the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence was, it's why I turned up. I wouldn't have gone to that crap if we weren't raising money. But I'd say to honour Julie Foudy, David, Super Julie, what a magnificent human being.
There was an amazing moment, Rog, if you think back to when we were reading, because obviously we keep the identity of the Golden Blazer recipient secret.
We keep them in a sack, tied up backstage.
Yeah, that's just the accountants who are holding the briefcase with the envelope with the letter inside that says that it's Julie Foudy. But as we were reading the introduction without saying Julie's name, and it was dawning upon members of the audience, members of our community, GFOPs, that it was going to be Julie Foudy, you felt a buzz of excitement flowing through the room and electricity and a warmth, because she's not only a fantastic player, not only a great American and a great competitor, she's also not only a great broadcaster, Rod, she's also such a phenomenal human being, so lovely, so nice.
Yeah, I mean, we know her as a broadcaster. We've come to know her as a colleague and broadcaster. But I love the chance over the past 2 weeks to immerse myself in her biography and kind of relive her competitive hunger as a midfielder, her achievement, her skill, her leadership, and to be reminded what an American wonder she is. And the thing I marveled at most, Dave, was how she kind of lived the transition of the women's game from a time in the 80s where that team didn't really exist. They just picked 11 players as an honour. They never brought them together. They didn't have the funds to train and field the team. And then they became the world's best. And then probably their greatest legacy, and we didn't have time to go into this, is that they forced other countries, Japan, Germany, to invest in their own women's programs to catch up and arguably surpass the USA. What a human being. Bring on World Cup 2015.
Yeah.
And thank you to all the guys. I mean, Steve Weatherford.
Carl Martino.
Bob Lee, Paul Carr.
Yeah. Turned up and made it a really phenomenal evening, Rog.
Yeah, I mean, you can listen to it. I think we posted it. JW posted it on Friday. It was really a pleasure. I'll say next year, I think we should get a conclave of Bob Lee and Julie Foudy together.
Yeah.
Pick a slate of possible winners and maybe have a vote, David.
Yeah.
Turn it into a real thing of wonder.
Like the Heisman Award, like that sort of the downtown athletic club, Rog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Exactly like the Heisman, Davey, but with slightly more reputable.
And more yellow. I'm wearing a yellow sweater today in to honour Julie Foudy.
It's the gorgeous. Goldblazer.
The thing that came through really strongly about Julie for me this time, and this is a theme that I'm going to hit again and again and again during this podcast, is her desire to win, her competitive spirit, her ability to get in there in midfield and win tackles, win the ball, and her desire to win soccer games. She's so competitive.
I mean, I said on the broadcast, I watched her documentary she made, The 99ers, which had all their video footage of winning the World Cup. And there's an amazing scene where they're all having to do urine samples. And for 5 minutes, they all compete coming out of the bathroom. They competed about who could put more urine into the jar. It's amazing. All I'd say is do not compete with Julie Foudy.
At putting urine in a jar.
Yeah.
I wouldn't compete with her in anything.
She's phenomenal.
She's a born winner, Roger.
Can we thank GFOP Jeffrey Messina?
Yes.
From the crap part of Greenwich, Connecticut.
Oh, yes.
Lovely bloke.
Yeah. Spent time with him yesterday, Rog.
He was the gent who won our Veterans Day auction to raise money for Wounded Warrior. He came down to watch last night's show.
Big studio tour.
Have a drink.
It was a little distracting, the open-top bus going by the panic room, Rog.
Oh, other than that, it was good. Top bus. It would be great one day to have a studio tour.
Yeah.
We had a drink with him post-show. He's a terrific guy for an Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
I think his father or his grandfather was a sniper in the American Army, and so I think that's probably what motivated him to give the gift. It wasn't to come and hang out with us, but thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Last night's show, I should say.
Yeah. Time shifted a little bit. Went overtime in the hockey, Rog.
It did. Thank you, Chicago Blackhawks, for saving Americans from having to watch our crap.
Yeah.
It was awful. And then they did a half an hour show.
Because you had to.
Pushed us even later.
Yeah.
Good news being Jeremy Roenick's hair.
Yeah, excellent.
Fantastic.
Worth watching. If you set your DVR to record Men in Blazers, you probably got quite a lot of Jeremy Roenick's hair.
You got 29 minutes of hockey.
Yeah.
The Hartford Whalers going deep with them. It's wonderful, wonderful stuff. I'll also say RIP Dean Smith.
Yeah.
Who passed away. I feel very sad about that, David.
Yeah. Well, another winner. Recurrent theme, Rog.
Yeah.
A guy who knew how to coach teams to win and to build individual stars at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, there's more intelligent people. Well, there's always more intelligent people than us, Dave. But to talk about the innovative tactical acumen and the role he played in bringing equality to the sport. But I just remember arriving here in the early 90s and watching him with wonder as I got into college basketball here.
Yeah.
And in juxtaposition to the Bobby Knights, the Bobby Huggins, the John Chaneys, who kind of tore up and burnt out that sideline, you just had to marvel at the model of intelligent yet menschy leadership of youth that he embodied. I'll miss him terrible.
Yeah, and the ACC is what I first got into in college basketball. I loved that conference, Rog. Okay, we got a packed show. We're going to break down a derby day that saw Spurs fans crown Harry Kane King of North London, and Stevie G's last game.
King of the world!
At Goodison. We celebrate the Von Trapp's first victory of 2015. We announce the winner of our US Women's National Team nickname contest, Rog. It's going to receive a custom Stars and Stripes Xbox, courtesy of the GFOPs at EA Sports. And we're joined by a man who looks younger every time he's on television. If you just wear better suits, Rog. The Benjamin Button of football presenters. Foxes, Rob Stoner Stone.
You see, his is the only aftershave signature cologne I will actually wear.
Yeah.
Urda Stoner.
Yeah.
I slap it on behind my ears.
Yeah.
It's I've got excellent. Four children.
It's better than Oda Ronaldo. Oda Stoner.
They're also available.
Yeah.
Different personalities.
Oda Warren Barton. Mm, aggressive. Hits you quite hard when you put it on. Gives you a little bit of a pinch.
Yeah, it's made out of fibrillators.
Very, very true. Okay, to the football, Rog.
Oh, David.
Let's crack open the Guinness.
Drink responsibly.
Oh. What's more responsible than responsibly, Rog? Oh.
Responsible lust.
Drink the responsiblest.
Dave, I think I've earned this.
Yeah.
Sitting through Derby weekend.
To Tweed, Rog.
Derby okay. weekend, GFOP Sean Murphy sent in this quote from Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
Which I think...
Love the book.
...sums up the experience of a Derby Day weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Arsenal fans will join me in appreciating these words. He said, Derby Day weekend, the loneliest moment in someone's life is when they're watching their whole world fall apart and all they can do is stare blankly. That was a nice framing for the pod today, David.
Wow, very nice. This is very much
of the Chelsea
This is
game.
Very much about your mood today, Rog. Okay, we're now
it's
20.
It's not a podcast, it's a cry for help.
It's a wake. We're now 24-38 of the way through the Premier League season. It's going to be 25-38 by the time many of you are listening to this pod. And as Chelsea extend their lead at the top, the title race is taking a back seat to the Royal Rumble for the top four, Rog. Tottenham 2, Arsenal 1. All hail Lord Kane of Walthamstow, Rog. After
Harry
Arsene
Kane.
Wenger's side took a 1-0 first half lead behind Mesut Ozil, Kane drew Spurs level in the 56th minute, turning a lamellar corner in from close range. And with time running out, the bottle blonde striker headed home his 22nd goal of the season, sending Spurs ahead of Arsenal in the table and setting one half of North London alight, Rog.
Oh, I don't think it's bottle blonde. I think it's entirely natural.
Yeah, maybe.
For the boy child. Yeah. Wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt less a football game, more like watching or rewatching that Little Buddha.
Yeah, similar.
Bernardo Bertolucci movie, yeah. David. The Chosen One.
Yeah.
He has been selected. He will lead us for generations. We will win the World Cup. It was a fascinating game, David, narrative-wise. Arsenal entered the game with confidence soaring. You don't read that sentence often.
Yeah.
All these wins, a 5-0 demolition of Aston Villa, conquering Manchester City.
A new defensive discipline, Rog.
Yes, they've beaten Spurs 5 out of the last 7 games. Santi Cazorla, only now half man, the other half a god.
Yeah.
Giroud, like Channing Tatum, but with even better dance moves.
Yeah.
And Coquelin, the wall their defence had craved.
Mm-hmm.
Yet Spurs struck this glorious, magical win.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to HK, I don't want to use his name too often and blaspheme.
Yeah.
Our new lord, taking 3 points in a victory that felt symbolically like a victory for all the Roger Clintons, the Daniel Baldwins, the Frank Stallones of the world, David. It just warmed the cockles.
Yeah.
To everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and even a time for Spurs to shine.
Yeah. It's exciting times. You can't love football, you can't love sport without loving what's going on at Tottenham. Both of us have, I would say, a little bit of a soft spot for the Spurs. And this is absolutely wonderful to watch. A player hitting a vein of form, a young player hitting a vein of form. It's not even about him being English, Rog. It's just so refreshing to see in this age of foreign mercenaries and players who go club to club to club. We're seeing a boy who, after brief spells at Arsenal, he ends up at Tottenham as a young boy, as a child, and he ends up making it into this first team after, frankly, some struggles. He didn't have a direct route, as Wenger would say, from A to B to go and get there into the team. And to watch him have this performance in the North London Derby, it was just joyous.
When
joyful.
He grew up 15 minutes away.
Yeah.
15 minutes away in that big, bad city. I mean, the fascinating part of this game...
Chingford.
...was that Spurs open with all the energy of a manic Labradoodle let off its leash in the park. but it was Arsenal who took the lead. They lacked the hamstring Alexis Sanchez, and they set up the way that they had against City, where they were coiled to soak up pressure and then snap on the counter. 11 minutes in, Welbeck.
Yeah.
In for Walcott, mostly for his defensive striking qualities.
Yeah.
Is he a reverse defender, David?
He is. He's a reverse defender. He's a de striker.
Yeah, de striker. And on 11 minutes, he turns on the afterburners.
Yeah,
blows down the right past wing. Danny Rose. Yeah. Who I think got third-degree burns.
Yeah, pretty much.
At least severe buttock chafing as he blew past, gets the ball to Giroud. With a shotgun pass, yeah. Chasse,
that was
as he calls it, Le Chasse en français.
Yeah.
And then Ozil smashes it home. Chris Christie's polling numbers suddenly soar. But yeah. You saw it in a different way, David.
Well, I agree that it was a Chasse. Giroud was trying to...
Chasse is a shotgun pass.
Yeah, he was trying to shoot, he was trying to score, and the ball went to Ozil.
Some conspiracy theorists such as yourself take it even further.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's no way that Ozil... was trying to shoot. I think he was trying to pass back to Giroud. That was a pass that resulted in a goal. I think we can only call that a poll, Rog.
Oh, whatever it was, Dave, it was Mesut Ozil scoring for the third straight game after he just netted once in his opening 10. And everything, you have to say, felt pretty good in Arsenal's world then, David.
Yes, they're going to lock it up. They're going to do a Jose Mourinho. They're going to protect their 1-0 lead. The new Arsenal, the new defensively-minded.
New well-hard Arsenal.
Yeah, we're tough. And there was that moment, even I as a fan was thinking, you know, Arsenal,
they've turned over a new leaf here. But the goal had a bizarre impact on Arsenal. It flipped the narrative. All of their key players have a narrative switch. And it was as if it hit all of those switches at once. Ozil became anonymous. Welbeck disappeared. Ramsey went back to Clark Kent Ramsey. And Giroud's Gallic confidence ebbed into a puddle. A handsome puddle. But one that never really looked like scoring. And though Arsenal went into the break 1-0 up, they'd managed only two shots. Giroud's mishit Chasse. And Ozil's goal. And outcharged Spurs in that second half. Arsenal tried to soak up the pressure. But I mean, Arsene Wenger, he doesn't really park the bus, does he? I see him more as positioning the Airstream Classic with elegant floor plan across the back. But Spurs, they had so much possession, couldn't conjure that final pass until two defensive lapses and did Arsenal.
And you said the right word, defensive lapses. These were major lapses. First of all, the corner from Lamela. What do you got to do when you're defending a corner, Rog? You've got to win the ball that goes into the box. Dembele and Dier seem to win the ball ahead of the Arsenal defence. Ospina tips it, and it goes to the back post, where a completely unmarked Harry Kane...
Real Madrid's Harry Kane.
...puts the ball into the back of the net. 1-1.
White Hart Lane is now rocking. The Arsenal midfield is wholly overrun. Mm-hmm. Bentaleb and Ryan Mason appear to be everywhere. And Spurs pressed in a way... They just never seemed to relent. Arsenal fans, a lot of you are trying to work out how you lost this game. I think you need to watch the match again and just look at the intensity and the fitness that Pochettino has coaxed from his players at this stage in the season. Because that's the fitness that empowers Spurs to score late, late goals again and again and again and again. This one came in the 86th minute.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful.
It was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And Arsenal fans, just watch the tape and look at the positioning of the Arsenal defenders. The amount of space, five of them, give Bentaleb so much space, Rog. He knocks a beautiful ball into the box.
Into a midst of Arsenal defenders. You only have one job.
Yeah.
It's Harry Kane.
Yeah, you've actually got one backpedaling to get the ball and the other one running forward to get the ball. It's a Harry Kane sandwich. The defenders have to win that ball. You would put money on they're going to win that ball.
But you see Harry Kane backpedaling himself. You see the idea forming in his little English blonde head. And then he rises to execute, works out the angle. It was less a goal. For me, it was more where science meets art.
It
big
was
air,
beautiful
traffic, meaty English forehead.
Reverse header, Rog.
Running
reverse
to the corner
header.
Flag, sliding towards it with 2 feet to be mobbed by his teammate.
Harry Kane. He was going to go on his knees. He bailed out. He went for the feet first. He's thinking, God, Real Madrid, I better keep these knees.
Harry Kane, the English Jeremy Lin.
Is he the Jeremy Lin? Is that what he is?
That's one scenario, David. Because no one can keep this runner from 11 goals in his last 14 appearances for Spurs in all competitions.
Yeah, apparently only Lionel Messi leads him in all European leagues in scoring at this point in 2015.
Yep. So the question you're really asking is, can Harry Kane keep up Lionel Messi-like scoring records for the next 10 years? And then we've got something to talk about. I love, by the way, the commentary at Steve Bauer just stopped dead as Harry Kane ran towards the corner flag and he goes, that was and then stopped, just stopped absolutely dead. Someone who wishes he probably stopped absolutely dead at Piers Morgan. You may have heard of him.
Yeah.
What did he tweet, David?
Oh, tweet of the weekend, Rog. Harry Kane wouldn't get on our bench, which he tweeted out before the game. But I must say, I'm going to say something you're going to be surprised to hear me say. I've got to defend Piers Morgan here. He's actually right. Harry Kane almost certainly wouldn't make Arsenal's bench, but that is one of the problems with Arsenal. He's not the kind of player that Arsenal go for. A player, returning to the theme, who just wants to find a way to win and to score goals.
He's like a male Julie Foudy.
He is, exactly.
He wants it that badly. By the way, Harry...
For this team, he wants it that badly.
Harry Kane was spotted by an Arsenal scout and trained with them for a year before being released from the club's academy. I've got to tell you, he would make the Arsenal team. He is magnificent. Last week, I said he's 95% confidence, 5% skill. A lot of Spurs fans tweeted in to say how much they hated that. I'm not sure if they know how percentages work. He's enormously skilled. He's enormously skilled. But he's one of the most confident English athletes I've witnessed in a long, long time. We don't create athletes, Davo, that just have that innate sense of confidence. So I can't think of one in recent... Since Gary Lineker had that kind of cocksure confidence in his own finishing ability.
Well, you can think of athletes in other sports. You can think of a Lewis Hamilton, for example. You know, that kind of ability and self-belief and bravery, frankly, to go and do it. But we certainly haven't produced it at striker level. But I think the interesting thing about Harry Kane is, yes, I don't disagree with you, the 95% confidence versus 5% skill. He can have so much confidence that 5% of skill can be a massive number. But would Harry Kane be doing this for any other team? Certainly his performances for England at under 17, 19 and 21 level. Yes, he scored a few goals, but you just watch his performances. They haven't been anywhere near this level. Certainly in major tournaments, he's been very disappointing for England at the junior levels. There's something unique for me about watching Harry Kane put on that Tottenham shirt and play for Tottenham. I think this is an individual who wants to win so badly for this club.
He's been in their academy since he's 11. Hmm. He grew up 15 minutes ago, as we say. He's got skill, power, vision, confidence, and as you're saying, narrative, motivational narrative. I will say, he also has a name that sounds like it was plucked from a Le Carre novel.
Oh, Harry Kane.
One of our own is what Le Carre would call that book. And I do wonder if his name was Murray Sperber.
Yeah.
Or Bernard Greer.
Yeah.
If he'd be as effective, David.
Or even Bentaleb. It's just a hard name, Rog.
The fans cheered. He's one of our own. He's one of our own. The Guardian's Jacob Steinberg wrote, "The beauty of Kane is that he looks like a supporter who's won a competition to play for his favourite team." And I kept trying to imagine what he must have felt like from a human emotion perspective as he walked around the stadium post-match, soaking in that atmosphere. What feelings he must have been overwhelmed by. Those were that's the face of a man living out his childhood dreams, Dave. And I kept trying to think how I would have felt if my dreams, Ricardo Montalbán, Dana Plato, Molly Ringwald and I playing a happy game of Go Fish, if that ever happened, that I'd probably, that's the closest I could ever get. See, all I could hear was Irene Cara panting, "Will I hear the music, close my eyes, feel the rhythm, wrap around, take a hold of my heart." I'm very happy for him.
I'm still laughing at the idea that Jacob Steinberg thinks that Harry Kane looks like a Spurs fan. Don't see many Spurs fans 6'2", 154 pounds. More like 250 at about 5'7 and a half.
Oh, harsh. At T. Waywood tweeted us and said, "I can't describe the glorious feeling the morning after Spurs 2, Arsenal 1. It feels like I feel a little bit like Lady Mary after that first night with Lord Gillingham. Come on, you Spurs." I've got to say, respect to Arsene Wenger, Dave, when he said,
"We cannot dispute too much that they won the game. We were not very good and the referee at our level."
Genius.
That's
intelligent stuff from Wenger. That's the way to insult a referee.
I also loved his comments about the Kane for England bandwagon. If you don't give him a game quickly, someone else will give him a passport. That is a manager who knows there's no quicker way to ruin Harry Kane than give him to Roy Hodgson.
Yeah.
He'll destroy his career by making him a full England international. The talk of building a team around Harry Kane is hilarious.
Well, you see, Brendan Rodgers has responded to that pretty well today by saying he's not in Daniel Sturridge's league, essentially. I'm not even sure that Roy Hodgson was there to watch Harry Kane. I think he was there to watch Danny Wose or Wyn Mason or some of the other England players. Or perhaps the Dire Wolf, Rog. Some of the other England players.
And shall out the Dire
so
Wolf.
So how far can Harry Kane take Tottenham this season, Rog? They're sitting above Arsenal. They're just 1 point out of the Champions League places, 1 point behind Manchester United. You've got to say that he is the best striker right now in the Premier League. I think he's even better than Diego Costa right now under his present form.
And that he's able to play and it's not under suspension. Yes, I'd agree with that.
How far can he take Tottenham?
We'll talk about that in the Ravens.
Okay, Rog, can't wait. Also can't wait to talk to you about this. Everton 0, Liverpool 0, Rog, great news. A rough and tumble Merseyside derby that saw Stevie G take to the Goodison Turf for the final time. Liverpool almost broke through when Jordan Ibe unleashed a thunderous strike that hit the post midway through the first half. Everton's only shot on goal came in the game's waning moments when Seamus Coleman forced Mignolet into a terrific save, keeping Liverpool unbeaten in their last eight games, Rog.
Yep. I'm very happy with a point, David.
Good.
A limp handshake is my mother's response to this. She said a limp handshake is better than a kick in the balls.
Yep.
She's a mantra by which I try and live my life now, David.
Wise words.
It was a very tough game to watch. It was harder to watch than one of those Jeff Bridges Squarespace commercials.
Yeah.
So the 224th Merseyside Derby, I'll admit, it wasn't the greatest game ever played. It was actually creme de la crap.
Mm-hmm.
But this was such a nervy Everton team, taking on Liverpool, who were unbeaten in nine straight meetings. A Liverpool who believe they're a team poised to make a late charge in this second half of the season. And I'd say I was relieved to escape with a point come the final season. Also because we defied narrative, David. We defied the narrative of Stevie G. 33 of these dust-ups he's played in. Scored 10 derby goals in his career, each one of which has felt very much like a baseball bat to the undercarriage. And here he looked quite passenger-esque. There was one moment, I'll admit, when he took it to the air to rifle a shot against Naismith. And there was another free kick that went narrowly over. And I did involuntarily empty my bowels both times. I've seen him do us so often, Davo. But this was a game where Liverpool were exhausted from scraping past Bolton in the FA Cup midweek. And Everton are just exhausted from life.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely was not the most thrilling encounter. Certainly, Rog. Stevie G, wonderful moment when he misplaced the pass to Jordan Ibe and starts yelling at the poor young Ibe.
Yeah, I mean, Ibe was the bright spark in this game for Liverpool. 19-year-old who runs in a Raheem Sterling-esque kind of way at a wicked pace with his bum incredibly far away from the rest of his body. Everton flinched with real fear every time he received the ball. It's like you could see the team in blue get collective turtle head. I think he proved he's useful for more than just the death throes of a Scrabble game, old Ibe. But, I mean, who impressed you from Everton, David? Because they were grim.
Well, just Naismith, really, Rog. He just plays with a level of aggression, which I love watching in the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say, in seasons past, this is what troubles me, Dave, about this Everton team. I always breathed a sigh of relief when Everton attacked and the ball fell to the feet of a player I trusted, a Baines, a Pienaar, even then Morelos, Dave, as funny as that now sounds. Or I'd be stressed if it fell to the feet of Leon Osman, who I knew would invariably be knocked off the ball or would cough it up. Now I never have confidence. Everything seems doomed to fall apart right from the beginning. Martinez finished the game by calling it a fascinating tactical matchup, which is a way of masking the truth that Everton didn't get a shot on goal till the 87th minute. And I think that's a way of protecting Lukaku. Everton have not scored in 10 of their last 17 derbies, and they never look like it here. I mean, how is it watching Lukaku for you, David? Chelsea reject, struggling in this fashion. Looking very much like, I mean, Sir Alex called Pippi Inzaghi of Milan, he said famously, a player who was born offside.
Yeah, well, I mean, frankly, you never saw him play enough for Chelsea to really form an opinion about the player. But certainly it's not as heartbreaking as watching Daniel Sturridge play for Liverpool. And it feels like a very, very good piece of business that Jose Mourinho did, unloading him, frankly, for that amount of money, and especially satisfying because of how much taunting I received from so many people to feel like, oh, Romelu Lukaku wants to go away, doesn't want to go and be there. I'm not saying you, Rog, but from a lot of Everton fans, oh, Romelu Lukaku wants to go away, you're giving up your great player, your future Drogba. He is no future Drogba. He seems to not have the desire and intelligence to figure out how to score goals and win football games, Roger.
Yeah, I mean, Roberto Martinez told me last week, he said people forget Lukaku is just 21 because he's such a big guy.
How old's Harry Kane?
And he has so much to learn. And that's what I'd say, I partially understand it, but you're looking like Emre Can, who's just turned 21.
Yeah.
Superb. Johnny Stones, just 20. And you wonder why Lukaku has a predilection to be caught offside over and over and over and over. And partially because of that, the game just became rutted. Gareth Barry was Liverpool's best player. Joe Allen made his best attempt to be Everton's. And the greatest moment that you loved, that you savoured, that you revelled in, 77th minute.
Oh, a bench-clearing almost fight, Rog. Yeah, that's what we love to see.
When does an almost fight become an almost battle royale?
Yeah.
And if it did become a battle royale, in which all 20 outfield players had to toss each other out of the ring, who would win, David?
Now, you're convinced Everton would win. That's just you setting me up to have to set you up to say that Everton would win. But I think while you've got Skrtel, while you've got a legitimate world-ranked ethnic cleanser on your team,
yep.
And I don't think there's evidence that suggests that Besic has cleanser. Been a world-ranked
he's
ethnic
not,
cleanser.
He's not a world-ranked cleanser. It's his hobby. It's his hobby. He's not a world-ranked.
He's amateur. In
he's
the amateur, in amateur ethnic cleansing,
yeah.
He's world-ranked, Rog. I'm telling you, it would be hard to beat a team with Skrtel.
See, here's what I think. I'm convinced Everton would batter Liverpool. I can't think of many teams who Everton would lose to in a battle royale.
Because Jackie Elka's so hard.
Seamus Coleman. Naismith is Begbie from Train Spotting. McCarthy is well proper hard. Romelu's haymaker, underrated. And Mo Besic is proper Peaky Blinders. He makes Arthur Shelby quake. And I do believe if they ganged up those five to get Sakow and Skrtel out early doors,
yeah,
there'd be four or five Blues left standing,
yeah,
in that ring come the end of battle.
Yeah, one of them would be Aaron Lennon introducing himself to the rest of his teammates.
Yep.
He might have knocked out a few Blue players along the way and made a mistake.
Do you think he didn't know it was a fight? You thought it was a potluck social?
This is what life is like in the North, Rog.
Someone who's leaving the North, and I wonder what was going on in his head at the end of the game, LA Galaxy, Stevie G.
Yeah.
Leaving a derby for the final time in a Liverpool shirt.
Yeah.
Watching him walk around that field, I felt a bit like I was watching the end of the Truman Show.
Yeah.
When Jim Carrey sails to freedom, takes his first step outside. Somebody help me, I'm being spontaneous.
What's going to be the equivalent for Stevie G when he comes to an MLS of the Merseyside derby, Rog?
I think he wants them to resurrect Chivas.
Yeah.
Now, when they play the LA second team, that's going to be a bloody feud.
It's going to be pretty huge.
San Jose, when they play out there.
Clash!
God, let's wait till they play
the Earthquakes.
A clash show.
How did you feel at the final whistle, Rog?
Thanks for asking, David. I felt like a wildebeest checking myself for injury after barely surviving an encounter with a hungry pack of lions on the African savannah.
Yeah.
I made myself feel better immediately by playing EA Sports as Everton.
Mm-hmm.
I signed Harry Kane. He netted a hat-trick. Everton won the game 5-0.
Wow.
And then and in the words of Kanye, I just told myself, I got my wife, I got my daughter, I got my clothing line, so I'm not going to do anything to put my daughter at risk, David. That's how I felt about the derby. One nice thing about the derby, the only nice thing, as it turned out, Everton unveiled a Hillsborough Memorial built into the Goodison Park facade. A monument to the 96 Liverpool fans who died.
Yeah.
In the tragedy of the 1989 Hillsborough disaster. An act which I think reminds you about what's really important, the deep bond between two clubs in a most magnificent city.
Yeah, absolutely true, Rog. Okay, Man City 1, Hull City 1.
What?
The Citizens lose ground to league leaders Chelsea at the Etihad. Hull took the lead in the 35th minute when David Mailer latched onto a loose ball and steered it past Josef Hart. In stoppage time, it was James Milner, Rog, who stepped up for City and curled a free kick into the corner to salvage a point for Pellegrini's men.
Oh, what an oddly lacklustre performance by City. They were booed off by their fans. Even before the goal came, Hull could have been 2-0 up. El Mohammadi headed against the bar from close range.
What? It wasn't his hand?
He's learnt.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, he's learnt. you learn in life from your mistakes.
Yeah.
Jake Livermore had an amazing chance, and then there was the Benny Hill slapstick of the goal.
Oh, my word. Could have scored three goals on a single possession, Rog.
Yeah, I mean, watching Joe Hart flounder Hasselhoff-esquely. I mean, three chances to score, and each time he made a more comical kind of like physical... He's a master of physical comedy, Joe Hart.
Hasselhoff was also big in Germany, Rog.
Before Daniel Mailer struck. Then Hull sat back, soaked up everything like a beer mat absorbing spilt lager. And City, it was shocking, man. Watching them so slow in their build-up play. No urgency. Nobody really caring apart from James Milner. And that kind of oddly diffident play. Jesus Navas, David, he kind of symbolises this City. He's got three kinds of crosses. Tame, impotent and hit-first defender.
When you watch City play like this, it's actually remarkable to me that they're only 7 points behind Chelsea. Because you go man for man, comparing the two squads, comparing the two teams, and Chelsea win at almost, not every position, but they win at almost every position in terms of a man-to-man matchup.
Yeah. The only kind they've got right now is James Milner. Yeah. James Milner.
James.
What a free kick.
Yeah, fantastic stuff.
In the dying embers of the game. But even he can't mask the fact that the defending champions have just one win in their past six league matches. They've scored just three goals in their last four games. It's fascinating to hear Samir Nasri say that actually Manuel Pellegrini's team are afraid for their place in the top four. They're not thinking about the title race. They just want to make sure they are top four in their season, Davo.
Yeah.
To me, it appears to hinge on how motivated Yaya Touré is once he returns from the African Nations Cup with his new beefy sidekick, Wilfred Bony.
Yeah.
City fans will want to know, will he be inspired by that victory or will he treat it as job done, season over? We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, and they're going to be playing with some pressure under them because they're going to have to do very, very well over their final
massive game at Stoke, where they draw perpetually. Quick word on the African Nations Cup.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Ivory Coast, or as you say, Mazel Tov in the Ivory Coast. I think the technical term is 23 years they've waited to win the tournament.
Félicitations, I believe.
Dodgy goalkeeper Boubacar Barry was their hero in a penalty shootout in which he scored the winner to land the trophy 9-8 on penalties after a dire game against Ghana. I love this quote to reporters after the game. I am not big in size nor talent, but I thought of my mother who loves me.
Mm.
It's beautiful, gorgeous. David. I'm going to get that. If I did believe in tattoos, I would probably get that somewhere with an anchor.
Bien joué. Man City's draw against Hull made even worse by what happened at Aston Villa. Rog, Aston Villa 1, Chelsea 2. Villa score for the first time in 11 hours of football, Rog, thanks to the signs poised by the fan pointing towards
Didn't
goal.
Didn't feel like 11 hours, though. Felt like 11 years.
But still fall at home to the league leaders. Eden Hazard put Mourinho's men up after just 8 minutes. Beautiful goal. But 3 minutes into the second half, a Carlos Gil cross found Zoris Okore, who headed past Courtois. But less than 20 minutes later, Branislav Ivanovic, or the left foot of Branislav Ivanovic, hit home from the top of the box, extending Chelsea's lead at the top to 7 points.
Huge fist pump by Jose Mourinho at the final whistle.
Yeah, he can never win at Aston Villa, Roger.
You sense he believes there's one jazz hand on the trophy already, David.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, this is very Chelsea. First attack, first goal. Again, intelligent combination play between Oscar, William and Hazard to finish. You think hashtag pray for Guzan. But then as so often happens with Chelsea, they carve an opponent open with ease and then they just decline to do so again. Villa came to life, spurred on perhaps by Thibaut Courtois. You got to explain what's happening there, Dave. A few wobbles for the second game on the run.
He's certainly finding the physical game in the centre of the box with a high ball coming. He's certainly finding that hard. And teams are starting to exploit that and test him again and again and again. He does not like it up him, the young man does not like it up him, Rog.
Yep, and then 11 hours without a goal. Everyone knows how that feels. You know that feeling of release too when you've been constipated for days.
Yes.
I was thrilled. Okora's goal for Villa. I'd say it might well be their goal of the year, David.
Yeah.
As in the only goal they will score in 2015.
Yeah. It seems odd to say it, seeing as they'd not scored in 11 hours, Rog, but they did equalise too early there. You do not want an equaliser against Chelsea the first few minutes into the second half. Way too long for them to hold on.
I don't know, not that Chelsea, with Didier Drogba looking very Tony Bennett at the Grammys. And then you wonder who is going to step up and score. Why is Hazard not doing what he did earlier? And then who enters, Davo?
Oh, the left foot of Branislav Ivanovic. He's got stitches in his right foot, Rog, after the Liverpool game. He's bleeding out of the top of his boot. Since then, suddenly his left foot, which we've barely seen, opens up that remarkable ball to Eden Hazard in the game against Manchester City that made that goal, Rog. And then that finish with his left foot, his off foot, Rog.
Oh, he
amazing
smacked
stuff.
The ball like Bubba Watson, mashing it off the tee.
Yeah.
He is a phenomenal finisher of big, big goals. I mean, he moved to Chelsea in 2008, was it?
Yeah, 2007, 2008.
From Lokomotiv Moscow. I think they just spent like £8-9 million on him.
A lot of money on him.
That's
and
what
he
it
sat
felt
there
like.
And didn't play.
Yeah, he was unheralded.
Yeah.
I mean, we did not know then that he was kind of like world-class, big-time, big goal scorer for this club. We only knew he had a big bottom.
Yeah.
The other bigs came along later. I love the article in the Birmingham Mail. A six-year-old football fan wrote a handwritten letter to Chelsea boss Jose Mourinho, begging him to become Aston Villa's manager and bring star striker Diego Costa with him to save their season. Honestly, if I were six, I'd write for Branislav Ivanovic.
Yeah.
He's the one you need if you're going to save Aston Villa Football Club. You don't need him anymore, David. You got Cuadrado.
Yeah.
Trotting onto the field wearing Costa's hashtag jazz gloves. Did you love that?
Yeah, excellent stuff. Good call.
Do you know what the secret to his lightning piece is?
No, Rog.
You clearly don't read the Daily Star. He told them he has nightmares about being chased by a witch.
Yeah. Whatever motivates you, Rog. I'd say Ivanovic is another guy, though, who just has a desire to compete, a desire to win, a desire to figure out how to win football matches. And that is what Chelsea do. And you're right, they lose their focus. They let teams get back. But this season, again and again and again, they seem to be showing a desire that the other teams in the Premier League don't seem to be able to do week after week after week.
What are you scared of?
Well, my recurrent nightmare, I think I've spoken about it before on the pod, is that I'm playing rugby and I fall down holes. But I'm never particularly scared of it. I'm mostly just annoyed by it. I'm not particularly scared of anything.
I think we found that Ian Dark is scared of, is it spiders?
Maybe snakes, because we talked about live and let die. I think it's snakes.
I'm terrified of sea snakes.
Yeah.
I remember watching a show on them as a child when I was about five. And every time I go to the toilet, I'm terrified one has found his way into the system and he'll bite me in my down belows while I'm doing my magic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also scared of ninjas.
Yeah.
Who also train themselves and their limbs so they could manipulate them and hide in a system and stab you when you're doing it. I'm just pretty scared of doing my business.
I like ninjas. I'm not scared of ninjas
terrified.
At all.
I have a huge amount of respect for ninjas.
Yeah. I mean, Chelsea, Rog, as a Chelsea fan, I think the bigger question is, who am I scared of at this point? What am I scared of happening? 14 games to go, 7 points clear. Surely, as you said, one hand on the trophy. However, if Man City do get it together, Rog, there are still 42 points up for grabs. If Man City win 14 games, Rog, and get those 42 points, and they are capable of doing it, they are capable of putting together that kind of a run, Chelsea could win 10 and draw 4 of their remaining games and still lose the Premier League
title.
My
answer to that question, though, as a Chelsea fan, what am I scared of would be the same. Sea snakes and ninjas.
Pretty much the same thing. Okay, West Ham 1, Long Ball United, Rog, 1. The Hammers took the lead just after halftime when Cheku Kiati did 2 keepy uppies, swiveled and smashed a volley past David De Gea. But in the 93rd minute, Daley Blint hit home to rescue a point for Louis van Gaal's men. Struck a blow for long-haired men everywhere, Rog.
Yeah, oh, the battle of the United. Who's better, West Ham United or Manchester United? Turns out Long Ball United is the answer. Trick question. Took place on a frigid day.
Mm-hmm.
Caused Arlo White to go all Thomas Hardy. The sun is out today, but it's purely ornamental. That's gorgeous. Gorgeous. I'd say gorgeous writing, but he just does this spontaneously.
Yeah.
Manchester United, who do nothing spontaneously, they charged into this game with 3 wins, 3 clean sheets from their last 4 games, 2 of which were against Cambridge United. West Ham were not expected to do much, depleted by injuries, yet they were the team with all the cohesive initiative. Or rather, I'd say United handed it to them with their wildly uncalibrated, listless play. I'm starting to believe, David, LVG, like other creative geniuses before him, including Cary Grant and Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Is dabbling in the LSD.
Really?
It's the only logical, rational conclusion I can
it
have.
It explains the scarf last week a little bit.
Yeah. He's shuffling through more players, 32, than any other manager. And also, he has to be on LSD if he thinks he can remake Wayne Rooney as a midfield catalyst and have Di Maria shine playing in front of him.
And if he can show up for his press conference before the midweek matches with a four-page dossier defending his record and going on the offensive against Big Sam and critics in the media who are accusing him of playing long ball football.
Yeah, I mean, the Di Maria issue is fascinating because we always talk about how good Chelsea are at selling players for profit. But Real Madrid have got to look at the $152 million they got for Mesut Ozil and Angel Di Maria and just laugh at it.
Bargains.
The key player for United, David De Gea. Mm-hmm. He's the only guy, I mean, he's man of the match in pretty well ever. His first off was an infomercial for skills aimed at Real Madrid's keeping coaches. I mean, Enner Valencia, he just kept him single-handedly at bay on multiple occasions. He is the master of the kick save, De Gea. And by the way, talking about Enner Valencia, what do you think when Tim Howard, wonderful Tim Howard, applauded Enner Valencia taking a dive? He said he asked a question of the referee, he made him make a decision. If one of my guys go down, either it's a penalty or you get booked.
Finding a way to win, Rog. It's always very, very important.
It's as honest a statement as it is un-American. West Ham scored right after the break. Kayata went all hacky sack. So honestly, it was the kind of goal that I expect Odell Beckham would have scored a lot of if he'd stayed with the soccer. Phil Jones, Wayne Rooney and Luke Shaw were amongst those just standing there watching, spectating with admiration. And the goal was like a glass of white wine thrown in United's face by an angry lover.
Yeah.
They just started a charge at West Ham, who soaked up the charging Wayne Rooney et al. And countered. Yet the clinical edge was missing. Falcao, wow, he's the poster boy for everything that's wrong with United.
Yeah.
76 minute. We never talk about him, but what a number of misses. He's just, I can't think of a player other than perhaps Vincent Kompany who's living off his reputation.
Yeah, I'm not sure what technically the opposite of clinical is. Whatever the opposite of clinical, that's Falcao right now.
He's like a footballing Troy Pamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamalamal a little bit by age and kind of injuries. And when it came to the crunch, who did LSD put on?
Oh, Fellaini comes on.
Yeah.
Fellaini comes on. Long ball United, Rog.
Yeah, what Van Gaal poetically referred to, I'm going to play to the quality of Fellaini.
Yeah.
And he then gave West Ham a taste of the medicine, which West Ham have served up to others over and over and over again under Big Sam.
Yeah.
And they finally caved in the second minute of time added on. Daley Blint hammering home a strike off the flotsam and Jackson of a Rojo free kick. I think Fellaini got his quality of a head to that one. How do you say Fergie time in Dutch, David?
Yeah, Fergie time.
There was still time for Luke Shaw to dive in recklessly in stoppage time. The sad punctuation point on the discombobulated performance.
Yeah, red card for having a very big bottom, Rog.
You should get applauded for huge buttocks. Allardyce calling United a long ball team, David.
Yeah.
It was like being told you have fascist tendencies by Goebbels.
Great news for United, though, Rog. Paddy McNair has signed a new contract for 3 years. Yeah. Everything is going to be okay.
He must have had a key role as an intern in creating the four-page pamphlet of statistics, which Van Gaal presented today to dismantle the allegation.
Yes.
And then he flipped it to the journalist and said, copy it and go to Big Sam.
Yeah.
In a very kind of faux, indignant style. I've got to say, I'm starting to think, well, I'm not starting, I've been thinking this a while. The Emperor has no clothes, David.
Yeah. 4 more points than David Moyes at this stage last season, Rog. And actually, I'd say playing less attractive and less interesting football than they did under David Moyes, which I can't believe I'm actually saying.
You know my English teacher, Mr. Stott?
Yeah.
Horrible man.
Yeah. Now, open all available oxygen inlet valves.
He'd storm into every class by just screaming, open all available oxygen intake valves. It smells like a Turkish brothel in here, lads.
Yeah.
He had a phrase, which was bullshit baffles brains. And I've got to tell you, I think that's it with LVG right now. It really, really does. His bullshit is baffling us. And there may be very, very little there. Gat Hamro tweeted us and said, what's worse, Davo, raisins, long balls or deflated balls?
I love raisins. I can't put raisins anywhere near. We're pro-raisin.
We're pro-raisin. Yeah. Man in Blazers podcast.
Yeah. Well, long balls and deflated, but very difficult to go long ball with a deflated ball, Rog. A very difficult thing to go and do.
Copy it and go to Big Sam.
Yeah, I have nothing. I don't think there's anything wrong with what Man United did at the end of the game, though. Bringing on Fellaini, they found a way to get a point, which is absolutely fine. But I think his defensiveness in the face of that accusation is bizarre beyond belief, Rog. Okay, Queen's Park, Raisins, Rog, nil, Southampton, one. Mane's stoppage time winner sends Ronald Koeman's men into third place, just 4 points behind second place Manchester City.
Mane scored in each of his last four Premier League starts.
Yeah.
What a winner. 93rd minute, goal, left foot, roof shot, sending Koeman into a delirious Dutch jig.
It was wonderful. Wiped his nose and then he jigged. It was excellent, excellent stuff. Okay, in other games, Rog, Burnley 2, West Brom 2. Burnley give up a two-goal lead at Turf Moor in a battle between two teams gasping for air just above the relegation zone. West Brom now 3 points clear of the bottom three. Burnley just won, Rog.
Yeah, the sky was so close to the ground in this one with all the fog, you could barely glimpse the Dave Fishwick signage. Oh. At Cohenios tweeted us and said, hashtag Turf Mordor. Poor old Burnley, two up, ended 2-2, four goals, four headers, and their next eight games, United, Chelsea, Swansea, Liverpool, City, Southampton, Tottenham, Arsenal. That is a grueling, brutal run. I just say to Dave Fishwick, who we'd like to get on this podcast, right, yeah, JW?
And we'd like to rent a minibus as well.
And he should enjoy the global exposure for his minibus rentals while he still can.
Yeah. Newcastle 1, Stoke 1. A score sheet featuring the Gingy and the Giant, Rod. Newcastle looked to have won after a Jack Colback 74th minute strike, but in stoppage time, Peter Crouch headed a Jeff Cameron USA.
Phenomenal.
USA cross.
Phenomenal cross.
Past Tim Krul to keep the Potters in 10th, one place ahead of Newcastle, Rog. Swansea 1, Sunderland 1. Jermaine Defoe, Rog, put the Black Cats up against the run of play at the end of the first half, but a 66th minute diving header. This was the weekend of the header, Rog, from Ki Sung Jung, rescued a point for the Swans.
Jermaine Defoe, second goal in three games, flickering embers of the Defoe for England campaign burned bright once again.
Leicester 0, Palace 1, a second half header from Joe Ledley, Liv Sack. Pardew's men passed lowly Leicester, who remained bottom. The major talking point from this game, Rog, came when Leicester manager Nigel Pearson pinned Palace's James McArthur down after a sideline collision. One of the most uncomfortable things I've ever seen.
It was like watching Kanye attack Beck.
Oh,
it was savage. I mean, we were just joking about doing the Premier League manager in treatment.
Managers
check.
In treatment would be so good. Oh, Nigel Pearson.
I think Pearson heard about it.
I know, we're putting him in sweeps. Episode one. We're putting in sweeps.
But the funny thing about it, 1 minute it was all lighthearted, ha ha ha, by McArthur. The next, out of nowhere, it just turned into a scene from a Hope Solo house party.
Yeah.
And you've got to wonder what the pressure is on this bloke, because a rumour came out of Leicester immediately to have been sacked. It was then reversed. And word is one board member sacked him only for another to reinstate him. And lost in all of this is, I've got to say, he's been quite a good manager of this club. He's given a weak squad a sense of discipline, a sense of organisation, a sense of belief, even when the results have not gone well. I did love McArthur's quote. He told the Croydon Advertiser, quote,
big paper,
I was a bit scared. And well, he might do, because Henry Winter told a story in the Telegraph of how Nigel Pearson was once hiking in Romania with a backpack on his own in the woods when he was attacked by five vicious dogs, which he fended off for several hours, quote, backed up against a tree by poking them all in the nose with his walking pole until they were exhausted and gave up, leaving him to continue with his walking holiday.
Oh, you don't interrupt Nigel Pearson's walking holidays, Rog.
Well hard.
Yeah, so well hard.
And by the way, the pressure that he was feeling, Davo, comes because, I mean, it will be increased even more today after the rights for the Premier League were sold in England. They'll be sold in America later this year.
Yeah.
For the televisual rights, and Sky and BT paid $7.8 billion to broadcast the Premier League in England between 2016 to 2019, a fee up 70%, Davo, over previous deals. At Sporting Intelligence estimates that from 2016 to 17 onwards, the bottom club in the Premier League will get $151 million in prize money. The top club gets $238 million. That's just in prize money. It's probably why Americans like Werner and Henry at Liverpool and Lerner at Villa brought into the league. Their clubs are worth so much more today than they were yesterday.
It's more than £8 million a match, Rog. That's $13, $14 million per match, including matches like Leicester versus Palace, Rog. I mean, it's a lot of money, and this really augurs well or does not augur well. I'm not sure which way to look at it in terms of the bidding war that's going to take place for the rights in the United States of America. I think we'll see more than a 70% increase over here, Roger.
And it will be a war. Talking about America.
Yes, the US men's national team 2, Rog, Panama 0. Tidy first half goals from Michael Bradley, very tidy. And captain Clint Dempsey give the Von Trapps their first win of 2015.
It was funny watching the USA play without Ian Dark telling them what to do and where to go. Yeah. And Alexi Lalas wasn't there to point out exactly why they were crap at halftime. I found it very disorienting. Big game for them, only in that they were winless in 5 straight before this. So it's been slightly narrative changing. But it was sloppy. It came to life in the 28th minute. Michael Bradley's Olympico, a goal straight from the corner. Skill he undoubtedly learnt during his spell on the bench at Aston Villa. Mm-hmm. An in-swinging corner found the net despite Josie's best efforts to pretend it just grazed his head. And the second goal was terrific. Beautiful. Let's overlook the lumpen Panamanian defending, and the ball from Zardes, our new American darling, was phenomenal. And Clint Dempsey finished with real style and a flourish. It was a slice of magic. So we're all on the same page again now, Davey.
Yeah.
Number one, Jurgen is all-knowing and all-seeing.
Yeah.
Number two, Dempsey / Josie / Brexay are world-class, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And number three, we're back to being favourites for the 2018 World Cup.
Oh, thank God.
By the way, why does he keep playing Wando?
Mm-hmm.
I love Wando. He's been an incredible servant for San Jose in the MLS. Unbelievable. He came on. He missed shot after shot as a sub.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just whiffed brutally. Managed to pick 2 or 3 fights awkwardly, but I was getting embarrassed. I'm starting to think Jurgen picks Wando just as his newest way of embarrassing MLS.
I think it's actually Josie motivation. It's Josie's thinking the same thing. Why on earth is he picking Wando? And he's picking Wando because he's saying to Josie, I only think you're this much better than Wando, is what he's saying
when
to
Josie. He whiffed horribly from close range. And I swear I got post-traumatic stress flashback to Brazil, David.
Yeah.
# dare to wonder.
Okay, our guest today, Rog, is the man
our favorite
at the helm of Fox's soccer coverage, captaining a crew that includes Warren Barton,
hey,
Eric Winalda, and the ginger-haired guitar-strumming aforementioned Alexi Lalas.
I love Lalas.
While several months of the Men in Blazer show has aged Rog and I a decade, Rob somehow looks younger after every single broadcast. Every time we see him on television, he looks younger, Rog. We welcome back to the pod a man who remains among the Colgate Raiders leaders in career assists in, I presume, field hockey, Rob Stone.
Oh, my goodness. You guys, this has been way too long. Why have I not been invited back? Did I do something wrong?
No, contractual obligations, Rob. You
understood,
know how it is.
Understood. I get it.
It's not contractual. We love you.
Yeah.
And Rob tweeted us just before the Golden Blazer. He wanted to know why he hadn't been nominated.
Yeah.
And I do think we should...
Wait a second. I haven't even been nominated?
I do think...
I mean, I understand not winning it, but I thought at least maybe somebody might throw a token vote in for
I can't believe you're peeling back the curtain on our sophisticated nominations process.
What I suggest that we start is a sister award, the Golden Posing Pouch.
Yeah.
Which I think Rob would be, I mean, primed to win. And I'm going to make one that will say Stoner over the bulge. And I'm going to send it to
you. Great use of the word bulge. I am not going to lie. I have a space in my very slim closet reserved for a blazer.
Yeah.
I don't have much to give, but I got one there. I'm going to hold it for another decade. I'm going to hold it for a decade. And then after that, things might get surly.
Oh, you're going to hold out for a hero like Bonnie Tyler. Can we ask you, what is the secret of eternal youth?
I wish I could figure that out. I don't know what it is. You know, it's funny. In all honesty, I have been fighting it for so long. You know, I've been up for jobs and trying to get jobs and work, and people are like, oh, yeah, and then they'll meet me in person, and they will literally mumble out loud in front of me like, ooh, he looks really young. So I've lost a lot of jobs because of my youth. But now the tide is starting to turn where it's
didn't
like,
hurt
hey,
Dick
he's
Clark,
been around
Rob.
For a
didn't
while,
hurt Dick Clark.
Still hanging in there.
Yeah. You do look younger, though. You do work out a lot, though, Rob. You're a very, very fit man.
Of course. I'm active. So I move, I groove, I get outside. I live in a place, the crap part of Manhattan Beach that gets some sun.
Yeah.
So I'm out there, and I'm moving, and I'm playing soccer. Alexi Lawless and I played a little pickup soccer game last Tuesday, and my Achilles have just recovered.
Wow. Alexi, dude, you went in hard against your little legs.
We love Alexi on this podcast. Mm-hmm. You've now got him in the mix. Can you talk about what it was like now behind the scenes, waiting patiently as that deal was floated, went back and forth, yeah. and then made real? How was it for you?
You know, for me, it was interesting because he and I have a long history. The first time he really worked on television, not just like having a camera stuck in front of him being interviewed, where he actually was getting paid, was with me on a little show on ESPN called MLS Extra Time, and we did it when he was on his sabbatical. People forget he had that little sabbatical in his time between Kansas City and the LA Galaxy, and we met in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we taped our MLS Extra Time shows on Mondays. And that was so long ago that it's frightening. And we were actually reminiscing about it the other day. He's a quiet guy. He's very private, even though he's got so much great energy and knowledge and passion and love. But, yeah, he keeps things tight to the vest in that anything with work or family, he doesn't lay it all out there for you. And I've known that from him for a long time. So I didn't poke and prod. I always offered him, you know, hey, I'm here as a resource. If you want to talk what we have at Fox and what you might be giving up at ESPN and pros and cons. And he's a smart guy. He doesn't need me. But, you know, I think he did come over to my house a couple times on short notice to kind of just talk. All right, who are these people? What's going on? And that type of stuff. And, you know, we've got a great team at Fox, and he adds to it. And, you know, it's nice having a friend. And in all honesty, we're actually carpoolers. We drive to work. I think every day but one that we have worked together, we get in a car and we drive to work together. And it's fascinating because you're stuck on the 405 and we just sit there and we just kind of...
Does he sit in the back? I imagine him in the back.
No. We don't do the taxi cab. And we talk soccer. We talk MLS. We talk Jurgen Klinsmann. We talk FA Cup. We talk our upcoming games and thoughts and... it's pretty interesting.
When Rog and I drive with each other, we often drive hours and hours, hundreds and hundreds of miles without actually saying a single word to each other, Rob. But I've got to ask you, it's a delicate...
Me. I don't know why.
It's a delicate...
Normally because I'm tied up in the boot.
It's a delicate ecosystem.
The gag in your mouth.
Yeah.
It's a delicate ecosystem, any broadcast team. And obviously
sure.
It's a delicate ecosystem, you and Warren, Wijnaldum, occasionally JSB comes in as well. But
yes.
How is Alexi coming? How has that affected that delicate ecosystem?
The energy.
I mean, Wijnaldum, is he completely freaked out?
No, you know what's great is those two guys obviously have a long history, you know, former roommates on the national team. And
yeah.
They certainly don't see things eye to eye on every issue. And, you know, I think Alexi likes to kind of stir the pot with Eric a little bit more because Eric's got some pretty hard set thoughts and sentiments, as does Alexi. And it's a great combination, and with Warren there is just this steady guy, you know, kind of that you can always lean on, and you know he's going to have something really strong to say. It's been pretty seamless. You know, it's difficult to walk into a new environment. You know, for me, when I came to Fox and got dropped into the English Premier League, something that I had not embraced to the level that I was forced to embrace, it was difficult. You know, I didn't know Warren. I met him day one, and I in the 3 a.m, I introduced myself to him and said, I'm the new guy. I didn't mean to take the place of the old guy. I know you were friends with him. I'm sorry, this is just a business, but, you know, this wasn't intended to make people lose their work. Eric, I had obviously known. So when Alexi came in, it was seamless.
One of our listeners at that, Josh Kale, wanted to know what sort of hazing was done to Alexi when he joined Fox as an initiation to the Wolfpack.
You can't haze him. You know, I picked him up the first day of work, and I think he thought the hazing was, you know, my pickup at 3:30 a.m. or whatever time it was outside of his house. And I'm in, you know, my jeans and a T-shirt, and he's in full suit, and he's like, all right, so this is really happening. This is really when we're going to work.
I imagine brutal hazing of the worst type. Like Alexi had to sing an a cappella version of "I Just Called to Say I Love You" while staring into Eric Wijnaldum's eyes. I've got to ask you the field at halftime. That tiny, tiny field. How does it feel to be out there on that tiny, tiny field? And can you give us some tips
on virtual stadium
on how you stand? How do you stand when you're all there?
You know, it's amazing. I didn't realize people cared so much about talking heads standing on artificial surfaces. And we've gotten a lot of comments about that. We've been standing for years. I stand for college basketball and college football, but the soccer community wants us sitting down. I don't understand it. I don't know what the deal is. And it doesn't bother me. I just
We love you standing up, Rob. We love it.
Yep.
Well, I know you love a walk and talk.
I love a Rob Stone walk and talk. We love a Rob Stone.
I'd like you to be all presenting from a desk treadmill. That's
we might be able to arrange them.
Okay, FA Cup, Rob. Mm. The magic of the FA Cup coming up this weekend on Fox Sports 1, 2, +3, 4, 7, 9. It's across a bunch of your networks. Set the scene for us. It's been an interesting, to say the least, FA Cup competition so far this year.
Yeah, I kind of like it. You know, I get hooked, and I think most people get hooked on the FA Cup or this type of competition by the smaller teams and what it means for them and the energy and the excitement. You know, I keep reflecting back on Cambridge United celebrating that home scoreless draw with Manchester United like they had won the FA Cup. I mean, it was hugs and smiles and people were cheering, and you know, it was a tie that was really a multifaceted victory for them. You know, they got to they earned the opportunity to go to legendary Old Trafford. They made so much money that their club can survive and thrive. They can put new toilets in their stadium now because they tied Manchester United. It opened up all these marketing opportunities for us. It's the stories like that I love. But once you get down to the final 16, which is where we're at right now, I think things start getting a little more serious. Like, people are no longer amused by the feel-good stories out there. If anything, they're a nuisance. You know, 10 of the 16 teams left are from the English Premier League. We have 3 all Premier League meetings coming your way Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And then, you know, the other little nugget is Chelsea and Manchester City are out. And I think all of a sudden everybody's kind of saying, this is really our only chance to win a trophy. You know, if you're Manchester United or Liverpool or Arsenal, I think realistically you're saying, this is it.
You've got an incredible amount of football. You've got the Women's World Cup, which is going to be a massive, massive platform with some remarkable football. You've also got the MLS season, hopefully, player stoppage permitting, soon to kick off. I mean, that league has made remarkable progress in 20 years. TV ratings have always been its kind of Achilles heel. How are you guys thinking of changing that? How do we make Portland fans care when the DC United play like the Red Bulls?
Yeah, it's been one of the big issues with MLS. I think it's multifaceted. One of it is there's just so much damn competition out there on your television. I mean, it takes me... I can't even remember the channel number of the channel that I work for. I'm flicking around. I'm like, there's NHL, there's NBA, there's ESPN 1-100, there's this, there's NBC. Now I'm over here. And there's just so many options that dilute any potential viewership numbers. This wasn't the case 20 years ago. And the other thing is you're chasing the tail. Nobody knows when the MLS is on. And I'm hoping that this is the year that kind of changes. I think everybody knows it's Sunday night. It's coming your way. You can expect it. If you're bored, you're tired, you're fatigued, just go. And you know soccer is going to be on the air if you're not going to the stadium yourself. And I think this consistency, this window where people know just go there on Sundays, it's going to help.
Okay, Rob, big question, difficult one. World Cup, which one are you looking forward to more? Russia, Ukraine in 2018 or Qatar in 22?
Did you just say Russia, Ukraine, 2018?
Yeah. Oh, Russia, Ukraine, 2018.
I'm looking forward to Canada because that's the first one. That's what's next. You know, I sound like a good manager. You know, play the game that's in front of you, not the game that's 2 weeks away. And for me, and really for Fox, it's our first big, strong opportunity to let the soccer world know we are treating this very seriously, and we are throwing a lot of money at it and a lot of talking heads at it and a lot of resources at it. And it's not just soccer people. It's other people that are coming in from behind the scenes. I'm crazy excited.
Last question. At Patrick Martin, a GFOP, tweeted to find out at Rob Stone on Fox if there was an Anchorman-style battle royale between you and your crew, NBC's crew, and ESPN's crew. Who wins?
Isn't that a great question?
Oh,
I sat in my car and I read that tweet a couple times, and I actually thought about it probably too much, and I was like, all right, well, who can take out who? And, you know, I think our trump card for box side is Big Red. You know, Big Red is going to kind of come charging in with the elbows swinging, and he's going to cause a lot of mischief. Warren Barton has got that sly little gray fox where maybe you might not expect much from him, and I think he's just going to bulldoze people.
I think Barton keeps a homemade knife up his anus.
Yeah.
Oh,
prison style.
You've seen it?
Yep.
Also, Barton and Musto have got previous. There's a lot of previous between Barton and Musto.
Exactly. Now, I think those two guys are some of the wild cards in there. You know, I think at some point, you know what? I was thinking about the ladies, you know, with Rebecca and maybe a Julie Foudy and maybe a Heather Mitz, that eventually they would all just kind of look at this and they would be like the disappointed girlfriend. Yeah. In the corner, they would just go together.
Rebecca Lowe, she'd be going in hard.
Oh, my God. She would take out Lawless in a heartbeat. It'd be a horrible snapping.
Who would
sound.
Take out Lawless?
Rebecca Lowe. She'd be going in with her keys. She'd be going in with her keys.
She's the mother of dragons.
They would take their proper cosmopolitan cocktails and go in the corner.
I know, Foudy. Foudy in a fight. Oh, God, I wouldn't want to see that.
Honestly, I've seen her running through the streets of Rio with her own blood in her mouth, just looking for a rumble. Yeah. Here's how it goes down. Because I've thought about this too.
You know how it goes down.
Yeah, I think I know how it goes down.
I'm willing to bet I'm probably the first casual.
Yeah.
Well, I'd fling myself out the ring in a heartbeat. I'd absolutely chuck myself out. Who do you think would be out first?
He just said himself.
So this is like a battle royale. Yeah. Like, that's how you have to start thinking about it.
Yeah.
Right.
I know who wins.
Yeah, I'm pretty light. I think I'm getting thrown over the
Yeah, you
the
and
top
me both.
Rope.
By the way, the funny thing is it's Barton who throws you out.
No, I would completely expect either Barton or Ronaldo to come after me.
Ronaldo would just rip his own shirt sleeves off and wrap his tie around his head and just go charging around.
Ronaldo would do something weird.
I think he'd keep just running into the posts on his own, posting himself. But who wins? Who wins? That's what we need to know.
I think, you know what it is? I think there's a chance that there'll be one person left standing and they think they've won it. And then from underneath the ring comes Brad Friedel. And he's all brass knuckled up, and somebody's celebrating him. Nobody's throwing him out. Nobody knew he was in. And he just, boom, super punches him, drops it, takes the belt. He's off to WrestleMania.
So because he's so old and wise.
Yeah.
He's so old and wise.
Can I tell you who I think wins it? Because I've given this some thought. One word. Burly.
Burly.
You like Burly in this one?
Oh, the ESPN FC guys are getting in on this.
I think he's spending like too much time kind of massaging his chest with all those open shirts that he has.
You know what he'd do?
He might get preoccupied.
I think he'd pick up Tommy Smith by the feet.
Yeah, and use him as a weapon.
Yeah, just batter us
all
with Tommy
Smith.
That's
a good idea. I love that.
He'd use Tommy Smith like he would a beer glass in a normal fight. It would be savage.
Tommy's got a hard head now, and those glasses are leaving nasty marks sometimes.
Burley is a very good call. Anyway, Rob, fantastic stuff.
Great FA Cup to you, and best of all.
Thank you.
FA Cup on Fox. We'll be watching. Rog, can't wait for that. Great man. One of our faves.
Oh, he's amazing. I love those players. I love Coach Warren Barton, too.
Yeah, Coach Barton. I love the Battle Royale concept, Roger. I would pay to watch that. Okay, Ravens. First Raven from Charles Kleintobe, Rog, or Kleiner Toby. Spurs have just beaten Arsenal. Hope abounds. In the legend of Sisyphus, Camus argues, in part, that what makes the punishment hell is not the physical act of pushing the boulder up the hill, but rather the illusion that it can be completed. Hope is an illusion that yields only suffering. This is quite a deep Raven, Rog. I am feeling this way right now about Tottenham.
Mood.
They are young and, when playing their game, beautiful. Harry Kane is a joyous revelation in the story of the season. However, with their history, and I should note that I'm also a fan of the Chicago Cubs, I can't shake the premonition that it will collapse into a pit of despair, cynicism, and disappointment. In other words, as I approach the top of the peak, is the boulder preparing to roll back down again? Charles. P.S. As we are moving to spring, what do you move to after Tweed?
I can deal with that one first, David.
Is it linen, Rod? So you go to linen or do you go to chambray?
Well, I mean, I like chambray. I like linen. I'm very comfortable in seersucker, which is one of my favourite things about America.
Mm-hmm.
But the simple answer about spring. Spring tweed.
Yeah.
40% wool.
Yeah.
35% silk. Mm-hmm. 25% linen. 100% lovely.
Wow. Excellent stuff.
Now back to the deeper, darker question.
Yeah, Tottenham.
Yeah, I mean, on this week's Downton Abbey, Dave, Dr. Clarkson turned to a very sad, beleaguered Thomas and said harsh reality is better than false hope.
Yes.
I'm just not sure I agree with that.
Yeah. I love false hope.
I love false hope.
Yeah.
When I first moved to America, I worked on the issue of welfare policy in Chicago, and I worked with homeless guys who spoke to the media about how the challenges moving from welfare into the workplace. I spent a load of time in African-American churches on the west side of the city, and they had a hymn that they'd always sing. It was called Jesus is Coming, ..
So good. False Hope would be such a great name for a racehorse.
That's how I feel about football. It's the power of eternal and wavering hope. And by the way, the opening line of that hymn is, troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. That's just like an Everton fan's grappling with the current reality, which is dark and unforgiving. Martin Luther King, we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. To me, that is football fandom. You got to embrace the despair, enjoy the cynicism, revel in the disappointment. They're feelings. Feelings are human. And that's why I love football. It makes me feel things that I'm otherwise numb to in real life, David.
Football fandom is about willing your team on to win something. You want your team to win a trophy. This man, Rog, this Charles Kleintobe, Klinatobe, wants to see Spurs win something. Perhaps the Capital One Cuppity Cup Cup. Perhaps make it into Europe, make it into the Champions League, Rog.
But feeling is winning, David. No, that's what I'm telling you.
It's not. Winning is winning, Rog.
Lost
winning
on,
is winning. Harry Kane, how far can... Let me take you back to the question I said earlier. How far can Harry Kane take Tottenham this season?
I think he'll score again against Liverpool. I think he'll score again. I think Tottenham's problem is not Harry Kane. I think Tottenham's problem is everything else apart from Harry Kane. They've got Eriksen, great two-man team. Mm-hmm. And the kind of two trainings a day regime that Pochettino's put them through, the question that we will find out the answer is, when does that actually peak a team and can they sustain it? Yes, they keep scoring late goals with their supreme fitness. But as you always say, a season is a marathon, not a sprint. Can that fitness be maintained into February, March and April, or will this team be clapped out?
Yeah. I think they're looking good. I think scoring goals is so, so necessary towards the end of the season. You've got to know where your goals are coming from. And a striker in form, a striker with confidence is crucial, Rog. Okay, the winner of the coveted Guinness Men in Blazers Poet, Philosopher, Saka, Scribe, Raven of the Week is Drew Sheridan from Columbus, Ohio. Dear Davo and Rog, can we start a campaign to change the name of this country to American States United? It just sounds better. It just sounds better. It's just genius, Rog.
I love that. It's one of my favourite.
American States United.
Oh, it's such a great idea. It sounds better to me than Kingdom United, which is where we're from. But not quite as menacing as Arab Emirates United. Mm-hmm. I think they're a small team, but they're one for the future, Dave. Arab Emirates United. Mark our words.
How do you think our friends at Fox News would think about American States United? I'm not quite sure
they'd be
enjoy
excited
that.
About their big game against American States City and American States Wednesday.
Yeah, and Villa. American States Villa. All those other teams, Rog. Okay, it's time now to announce the winners of our EA Sports Stars and Stripes custom Xbox competition.
I want to keep that custom Xbox for the FIFA
people. No, you can't.
We've
got to give it away, Rog.
Beautiful.
As you recall, we asked you to come up with a nickname for the US Women's National Team ahead of this summer's World Cup. Thanks to all the GFOPs who sent in suggestions. We've got two honourable mentions, Rog, who will each get a copy of EA Sports FIFA, and they are Steve Joe, who suggested USNT... That's the US national team. I think that's great.
Who will win the World Cup.
And Fred Francis, this was genius, who sent in the 19th Amendment. It's a very, very clever nickname, Rog. But the winner who will receive the custom Xbox is Eric Paolini. The nickname, the Khaleesi's, Rog.
Oh, they are our moon, our sun and our stars.
Yes, the Khaleesi's.
The Mothers of Dragons, I love that. That deserves the Xbox.
Well, good luck to the Khaleesi's in the World Cup this summer.
Courage.
In Canada. And well done, Eric Paolini. Okay, your weekend looks like this, Rog. England versus the US Women's National Team. Is that the England men's team playing the US Women's National Team, Rog? I don't think we can beat them. 3 p.m.
The honest truth is the US Women's team will get a better game out of the English Women's team than they would out of the English blokes. Harry Kane and all.
3 p.m. Eastern. That's Friday on Fox Sports 1. And in the FA Cup, West Brom versus West Ham, 7:45 a.m. Saturday on Fox Sports 1. And Preston North End versus Manchester United. That's 3 p.m. on Monday.
What's that, the past against the... Which one's from the past, though?
I know, it's very clear who's the future. 3 p.m. Monday on Fox Sports 1 also. There are many ways to connect to us. One is through our Amazon Emporium, which helps keep the show going. Anytime you go on Amazon, Frightens, big or small, just click to it from the Emporium page at meninblazers.com, and Men in Blazers gets a tiny percentage that allows us to cover the costs of creating the show. What are you going to put in the Emporium this week, Rog?
A book.
Oh, you love a book.
Yeah, this one's proper amazing.
Yeah.
It's by Kazuo Ishiguro, the author of Remains of the Day.
Yeah.
He's got a new book, his first in a decade. It's called The Buried Giant, and it comes out on March the 3rd. And it's just a beautifully plotted novel of mystery and quest.
Wow.
I like mystery. Yeah. I like quest. This you one's love mystery quest. And quest.
Wow.
In kind of a post-Arthurian Britain. Mm-hmm. And it looks at the way societies create fable and legend. Anyone jonesing for George R.R. Martin to pop his fat fingers back on the typewriter should snap this beauty up right now.
Okay, excellent. I will look for that, Rog. I'm putting in a Stanley multi-bit ratchet screwdriver. Comes with bits, Rog.
With bits.
That's from Stanley. It's a bargain at only $7.99. Oh, that's pounds, so it's going to be more like $12 or $13, Rog.
Bits is what my mother said Madonna was showing.
Yeah, showing her bits. Performance. These are very different bits, but the amazing thing about this, it's magnetic. It has a magnetic head. I was using my Stanley multi-bit ratchet screwdriver, Rog, over the weekend, and I was just reminded of what a great hand tool this actually is. Just the magnetic head allows you to change the bits. It ratchets, makes a lovely sound when it ratchets as well. It goes both directions.
Are you handy?
Do you know what? According to my father, who trained me in handiness, not at all. But because I help my dad, who is so handy out on so many jobs, I know how to do a lot of stuff. I love it.
Nothing
brings me more pleasure than putting up shelves, sanding floors, grouting in a bathroom. I love all of that stuff, Roger. I love it, love it, love it.
There's certain light bulbs in my apartment which are on this bizarre angle.
Anytime.
That I can't do.
Anytime.
I can't
come over.
In my own light
call
bulbs,
me.
David. It's the most emasculating
call me.
Thing.
Call me. I'll come over and do that stuff. I love figuring that stuff out and doing it. Really, really love it. Another way to connect to us, Rog, meninblazers.wikispaces.com/ that's a wonder of the modern world. Also, go to meninblazers.com. You can read all of our great content there, see all of our video. You can also sign up for our newsletter at meninblazers.com. The Raven, we produce that with our partner, Guinness. You can follow us on Twitter, at meninblazers, at Rog Bennett, at Embassy Davies, on Instagram, at meninblazers, and at @embassy_Davies.
Which is monitored all the time by at Tan Neil.
Yeah.
John O'Willie, John O'Willie for the great, great, great JW.
Yeah, we love our team. We've got a subreddit, Rog. That's meninblazers.reddit.com. That's maintained by GFOP's Akshay, Calvin, and Alex. We've now got a Spotify account, Rog. Search men_in_blazers. It's got our very first Men in Blazers mixtape, a collection of songs near
second
and dear to us.
Second one coming soon.
Yeah, can't wait for that. We've got a Facebook, Rog. Put a lot of great content up there. And obviously, send your Ravens to the crap part of Soho. It's cold. Bear that in mind before you send them off.
We may be starting the Snapchat soon.
Okay, wow. You can always email us at meninblazers@gmail.com. Vendorpunk, Rog.
War Pig.
Who wants to sex Mutombo?
Explosure.
Courage.
Size the day.
Is that your analysis?
To tweed.
Abrigado. Rock on, mate.
Kung Fu Fight America, and you, Julie Fowdy, in particular.
Yes. Love you, Rog.
Love you, Davey. Just don't do it in the face when Everton play Chelsea.
Cheer up.